It's good to see everyone here this morning and I would like to be able to share my screen with you. Oh, you're wondering probably which one I am. There I am right there. So. Thank you. If you could turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua, book of Joshua. Kind of unusual that my preaching this morning is all in the Old Testament, and the book of Joshua, chapter 24, please. And there we go, share screen. Thank you. In the book of Joshua, I'd like to sorry about this. I just need to. Yeah. Is that up? There we go. Yeah. There we go. There we go. And this morning when I spoke, I brought in the fact that it's 2024, and as you can see, that's kind of a common theme for myself in this month of January, and I often refer to how we begin the year. I think that we always need to, now I realize Chinese New Year is coming, other parts of the world here, it's 2024 beginning, so I hope you don't mind, I'm not dealing with Chinese New Year today, and I know that's coming real soon. As we look at this year, and brought up about choosing verses for the year in the previous service that we had in the breaking of bread, and then that I encourage you, if you have for you that were not here, to choose a Bible verse or a Bible portion that would be precious to you for the year, and I encourage you with that. But with some of the believers that I work with, in actually a variety of congregations, I have challenged them with more as a corporately as a congregation to choose maybe some themes for the year, and so. I did a couple of them, a couple of verses, and as you can see, the banner or the top, it would be a banner, says, "Life is a journey filled with choices." And then from the New Living Translation, I took the last part of Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And Joshua 24 and verse 15, the last part, it says, "Then choose today whom you will serve, that is for me and my family," or in others, it says, "my house," or "my household, we will serve the Lord." That's the first one. Then the second one is that we're praying through the journey. Today we won't be looking at Psalm 39, verse 12, but it's an interesting psalm. It says, "Hear my prayer, Lord, listen to my cries for help. Don't ignore my tears, for I am your guest, a traveler passing through as my ancestors were before me." And Psalm 39, verse 12, and that's also from the New Living Translation. But today I want to take a look at Joshua chapter 24, and I put it up on the screen. It's pretty small, so but is in the English Standard Version, and we're going to read from verses 14 to 28 to really get some of the context of what Joshua is saying. Now. Who is Joshua? We know that he was the assistant to Moses. He was an individual who right from a very young age, was involved in helping the people of Israel as they traveled through out of Egypt, out of slavery. He saw the miracles of God. He was one of the spies that went into the promised land, came back and affirmed that they should follow God's purpose and God's direction and go into the land. But the other spies, except for him and Caleb, they did not follow. And they ended up wandering the desert for 40 years. Joshua was a man who carried on into the promised land because he did believe God's promises. And he was able to lead the people into the promised land. And very often we kind of think that when they go across Jericho and they defeat Jericho and into Ai, and but it took a lot longer, it took a number of years. And so when he's stating these things, it's probably over 50 years since they had left Egypt and went into the promised land. That's a long time. Joshua died at 110 years of age. I was over at Blenheim Lodge here a few days ago, and there was a lady, her name was Mary Dobson, and Mary just passed away, and she was 105. So I think to myself, and here Joshua lived another 5 years after that. We think about Joshua in a sense of an individual who truly was obedient to God's calling on his life. He knew by experience what slavery was. He knew by experience what it was to follow God with all his heart. He knew by experience what it was to watch people be rebellious to God. He knew by experience what it was to be fighting and going into claiming the inheritance that God had promised them in the land. He had a full life, a very full life. And that is something that we can appreciate from a gentleman like Joshua. He was truly a man who displayed the goodness of God and the heart of God in many ways. He was courageous. He had valor. Now, as we read here, and in this passage, I'd like us to think about who he was and how he phrases his challenge to the people of God here in Israel, how he speaks to them. Now, remember, he's a man who has commanded and led the people, been a commander of their armed forces, so to speak. He has been their leader, but he also knew God, and he had a heart for the things of God. And so he was a man who stood for his convictions. Let's read Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 28. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your fathers, whom your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, or me and my family, as it says in the New Living Translation. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will serve. We will serve and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and he set it up under the terebinth, or the oak tree, that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. May God bless his word. In thinking about this particular passage, it is a challenging passage because it's filled with a challenge to a people who had a rocky relationship. Even when God had been faithful to them, they had been unfaithful to God. That often happens in the life of us as individuals. Now, I don't know everybody here, and I don't know what your relationship spiritually is with God. If you're not a Christian today, what I want to do is to focus in on the fact that life is filled with choices. And you can make a choice to follow the Lord Jesus Christ or not. That's given to something that is given to you by God to make those choices and decisions. But God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy and a God of grace, but he's also a God of justice. And so as we go into this matter, there are a few things that I think are very important for us to understand. And given this passage, now, for some reason, it's not moving forward for me. Okay. Yeah, that's the arrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not. I'll just stop it and reshare it. And I apologize. Okay. Forgive me, I'm just going to continue with this, I don't think I'm on anymore, so, okay, it's all right. So, my first point is that, there?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And there, I apologize. Okay. There we go. Okay. Now, Joshua was reminding them of their present responsibilities. One of the things is that Joshua wasn't talking about what had happened in Egypt. He wasn't talking to them about what had transpired. He could have had some very deep resentments against the people of Israel. I told you we could have gone into the land and God would have protected us. He could have said a lot of different things at this moment in time. He could have brought up the fact that they had impeded and had taken off literally over 50 years of joy, of growth, of peace in the land. Literally, they messed up his life. But we don't see that. What do we see? He starts in with this conversation with them and speaking to the people, and he says, I want to remind you of your responsibilities. I want to remind you of what your present responsibilities are. Now, what does it mean to serve God? It means to fear him, obey him, worship him only. It means to love him and fix your heart upon him, obeying him because you want to, not because you have to. Now, for some of you that have become Christians maybe in the last number of years, or even as adults you've become Christians, you might say, well, I don't obey or follow God. I don't come to church because I have to. It's because I want to. But you see, people like myself, I was saved when I was 7 years of age. My grandparents were Christians. My parents were Christians. We lived in an environment of influence that was wonderful. And so I speak to you as young parents, or I speak to you as parents but maybe with teenagers, understand that your children often will come to church because you're coming to church. Not because they truly want to, because sometimes they come because they have to. And some of us grew up that way. And it wasn't until I became older and my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ became much more important to me that I realized that what to serve God is. What is it to serve God? Now, it's interesting, in this particular passage, the word serve is mentioned 15 times. It's an important theme that Joshua wants them to understand. I was interested in this word to serve or to minister. And a little while ago, we were doing a Bible study in the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 26, I think around verse 18, the Apostle Paul, he's going through his life and he's expressing about what he used to be as opposed to what he was now. He used to be a Pharisee. He used to be a persecutor of the Christians. He thought he was better, and he thought he had the truth. He thought he was on the right way, and God stopped him. What happened is that it changed his world upside down, and he says that now he had become a minister, that he was become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently, that word that he uses is the same word that they used for those individuals who were slaves or indentured servants that worked on that second and lower level of ships during those years that the Apostle Paul wrote. Those are the ones that would row the boats all in unison. I think if you watched Ben-Hur, you would have seen that. That's what the Apostle Paul said he was. He was one of those types of servants. I like to think that what Joshua is trying to describe to the people is the same idea. I am a servant, and you and I should be servants. And so he says to serve God means to fear him, obey him, worship him only, means to love him and to fix your heart upon him, obey him because you want to, not because you have to. The desire of my wife and myself is for our children to want to be a part of the things that God is doing, serving and loving God, because they understand the love of God in their life. That is a goal that I know my brother here has for his little one. That's what I hope all of us have for the people that we love in our lives, to guide them. And this was the heart of Joshua. His heart was to guide the people of Israel to love God with all their hearts. But he was honest with them. And he says it's a time for decision. Verses 14 to 18 bring us an understanding of that. He made it clear. He says, he didn't tell them this, but, you know, the country of Switzerland, what do we know? We know because of the Alps. We know because of chocolate and all these other wonderful things about Switzerland. But they declare themselves a neutral nation, right? They don't take one side or the other. Joshua said, no, you can't be Switzerland. He literally didn't say that. But that's the idea. He said, you can't be neutral. You can't be on you know, walking the fence. He says, choose. Now, we might get a misunderstanding of this. He's saying, look, you know, God's given you some options. You can follow God's, or you can follow the true God. He was saying, no, he's saying, you can follow the gods, but remember what the gods were all about under slavery. He says, but some of you are still hanging on to those gods that were part of your parents' ancestry. And he's saying, don't follow those gods. He says, on the other side of the river. And he says, you've picked up some gods even along the way. In fact, the land where we are, there's some Amorites that live here, and you've clung on to their gods. But he says it's a decision that you need to make. And he gives a warning. He wasn't suggesting that they could choose to worship the false gods or the idols, and that God would accept it, because there was no other option for them than Jehovah. But what we do know is that God, in his grace, he wanted them to understand that he was a true and loving God. He wasn't a God that wanted them under slavery. He delivered them. He didn't want them to wander in the desert because of disobedience. Now, maybe there's someone here that feels like, there's family traditions. I know a young lady, she's of Asian descent, and she's married to a friend of mine. He's a Christian and she's not. And I've been in many times where speaking the gospel, and I look at her and I think to myself, what is holding you back? She comes to church regularly. She's very involved in the life of her family. But because of family traditions, she's holding on. And she's afraid maybe to make that step of faith. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here today. God requires decisions. It's those decisions are based on his desire to bless and encourage your life, because you will one day meet the Creator, the one who's made all this. The Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. What does Joshua say? He says, as for me and my family, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There are some families here, individuals that have said that. They said, we will serve the Lord. That my grandfather made that decision a long time ago, and it passed on in family. It didn't mean that I became a Christian or my dad became a Christian. What it was is that because of the choice that he made to serve the Lord, it influenced and created an environment that urged us to make decisions to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is full of choices. You and I know that. Every day we make choices. But the best thing that we could ever do would be to receive and accept the gift of God, the eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so we see what he says here in verses 14 to 18. He says, I know I know the ancestors have worshipped. I know what idolatry is. And let me say, there is new idolatry today. I was with some friends having breakfast yesterday morning, and we were talking exactly about that, about the idols of today's world. They may not be a little statue, although there are restaurants, right, throughout the lower mainland here, and you go in, there are little idols there and a little piece of orange, right? But what does the scripture tell us here? It says, don't choose falsity. Don't choose a mirage. Choose this day whom you will serve. And we pass it on. And we create an environment within our families. We will serve the Lord. Now, it's interesting that what he was saying to them is that also what is required, not only a decision, but it requires devotion. It requires devotion. What does that mean? Well, a devotion. What we know is that way back in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 8, the people, when they were with the Lord at Mount Sinai, and this was the previous generation, you know what they said to God? They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That can happen. People can devote themselves, but you know what? They never saw the promised land because they did not do everything that God required of them. In a sense that they had a covenant with Yahweh or Jehovah or God himself. They had made a covenant with him, but they had been unfaithful to that covenant. And that's why Joshua says that God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to share your allegiance and your love and your devotion with an inanimate object, with something that has no life. He wants you to share that life with him so that in turn your life can work itself out and be blessed, not financially or not in ways that maybe the world would think. Now sometimes God allows those things to take place, wonderful, so that you can be generous and give and support and download some wealth to family. That's fine. The idea is that everything that God wanted for them was in it, to do with the relationship that he had with them. Remember, when you're speaking to someone about the gospel, tell them it's not a religion, it's a relationship. You've heard that before. It's not a set of rituals, it's the relationship you have with God. And every day you can improve and increase that relationship. And so he says to them, be devoted. Be devoted. You know, there are three times here that the people affirmed their relationship to God, verses 16 to 18, verses 21 and verse 24 in this passage, where they said, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua took them at their word. And then the thing that he did was he set up a memorial. He set up a memorial. If you look at verse 26, Joshua, he recorded these things in the book of the law of God. And it says that he took a large stone and he set it up under the terebinth tree or the oak tree near the holy place of the Lord in a place called Shechem. Now, in the book of Joshua, there are nine times that stones are part of some sort of reminder. If you recall in the beginning of the book of Joshua, as they walked across on dry land and they took stones from the Jordan River and they set them up as a memorial. You know, the tragedy of it was in the book of Judges, it says that there when Joshua's generation died, when that next generation died, there was absolutely no one that remembered what God had done. But I want to ask you as I close, do you have memorials in your life? What do I mean by that? Well, we have memorials for people that pass away, right? I think all of us who have had parents that have passed away, we can remember vividly the day that we held a memorial for them. Probably even more even than the day that they passed away. Sometimes it's just all those things. We have pictures and we remember them. But all of us have little memorials in our lives, right? What are they? Well, the day you were born, right? You celebrate your birthday. If you're a born-again believer, the day that you were saved. And I hope that that's the most important one that you have in your life. Or the day you got married. Or, you know, the day your first child was born. Your second, your third. That's all I've got, so that's where I'm stopping. We remember those things. And we remember those, and maybe we don't put like a stone down, so to speak. But there are things that we do to remind us of that day. Well, that's what Joshua says to them. He says to them, I want to remind you. He says, he took the large stone and set it up so that the people would go. And verse 27, he said to all the people, this stone will be witness against us. In other words, this will be a visible testimony of what you internally have done in your heart. You know, when we get baptized, you have a baptismal tank here. What do we often say? We often say, well, if I get baptized, right, and you're having a baptism class, wonderful to hear that. A person gets baptized. It's not the day of your salvation. It's a day that is a witness before God, before your friends and family, that you say, I belong to Jesus. Like that song we sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That's a day that you remember because it's a day you've declared before all of mankind, there's an internal change that has taken place in my life. That's what he's saying to them. You have verbally said it, we're going to put this stone. And nine times in Joshua, stones were set up as memorials. Sometimes in very negative situations, sometimes in more positive situations. But they're nine times. What are the different memorials in your life? I'm going to tell you about one in mine. I was 19 years of age. That's just a couple years back. I was 19. And I was attending an assembly called the Deep Cove Gospel Hall out in Deep Cove. And there was a gentleman who was one of our elders there. And he came up beside me and he was talking to me. It was a Wednesday evening. We had our prayer meeting and our Bible study. And he came up after the service and he said to me, David, he says, how are you doing? And I said to him, and his name was Aubrey Kopp. Some of you would know Aubrey. And Aubrey says to me, David, how are you doing? And I said, I'm fine. You know, he stopped me, kind of put his hand up. He said, how are you really doing? And I'd been struggling. And he stopped and he said, okay. I'm fine, I'm fine. I went home and I called him. No cell phones in those days. And rotary dial. And I called him. I said, Mr. Kopp, not doing very well. The next day he says, here, let's meet up. Let's have a chat. Now he says, before I start, he says, I'm going to apologize to you, he says. And I said, why? And he said, well, he says, your parents are missionaries. They're away. He says, and I haven't been checking in on you. So I'm sorry, he said. Then I poured out my heart to him, told him some of the things I was going through, and I was feeling, I was sort of spiritually lost. And you know, he walked me through a process of of truly going deeper with the Lord. And that day, at 19 years of age, I set up a memorial. I took a stone, spiritually speaking, and I placed it on that day. I can't tell you what day it was. I could tell you the year, because I was 19. That was only 2 years ago. And I put it down, and I can still remember that day. Why? Because God touched my heart. I was saved. I was baptized. But I needed God to work in my life. And he used a brother who was an elder who loved me and cared for me enough to take the time and help me through. That's a memorial. And that's what happened here. They left Egypt. They received food. They were given the law. They walked through the Red Sea. They had so many experiences. They're given the Ten Commandments. They walked through Jordan. They received their inheritance. And still, Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. He says, I know what I'm doing. We will serve the Lord. And there was a memorial set up. The first memorial that you can set up as a Christian, so to speak, is by getting saved. Receiving Jesus Christ, that he died upon the cross for your sins. Believing that he died for you, repent of your sins, and receive the gift of God. That's the first one. Then after that, there will be moments in time when the reality of God's goodness and God's grace will be made new and fresh to you every time that you seek the Lord with all your heart. And it might be something tiny, it might be something big, but every time God is present, he's there, he's unchanging, and he will meet you there. That's what Joshua was saying all those years back. What do you need today? Is there some choices that you have to make? Maybe there's someone in your life, maybe not yourself, maybe a child, maybe a teenager, maybe a young adult son or daughter. And you say, choose. Not the falsity of the world, not the pursuit of money and all the idolatry this world offers, but choose the lasting, immutable, unchanging God. Choose him. Just like Joshua did. We can see God's goodness and God's grace in the life of Joshua. And you can have that same resolution today. I'm not talking about New Year's resolution, but resolve to be what God wants you to be. He used that word serve, to minister, to be faithful to God. And that's what he wanted from them. That's what he wants from you. That's what he wants from me. We're in this journey together. Remember that banner, what it said? Life is a journey filled with choices. That second one that we didn't even touch today, wasn't planning to, praying through the journey. Keep close to the Lord and pray through the journey, and he will give you moments. Maybe he'll give you different stones all this year, so to speak, that you can place and go, God was faithful. God was there. Oh, I learned a lesson here. I changed my attitude here. And it all goes back to the Lord, and may he get the glory and the honor and the praise. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for these moments. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the living word of God and the beauty of it. Help us, Lord, to honor you and live for you in every way. And if there's anybody here that does not know you, Lord, may they set up that first time where they can say, God met me. I will choose the Lord. Help us to do that. and help us to create environments in our own homes that will point our children to the Lord. We ask you, Lord, to help us. We thank you. We ask your blessing upon this congregation here at 16th, and for all those online, be with each one. Take us to our homes in safety, we pray, in this inclement weather. Thank you again for the Lord Jesus, for your love and your grace in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May God bless you, may he keep you, and may his face shine upon you both today and for the days to come.